Get Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruined Dits for Breakfast catch-up at triplem.com.au.
These are the stories that the guys have gone over hand-picked and certainly making the most headlines this morning, Alana, number one.
Yeah, pretty hard to go past the 12 Thai boys, of course, trapped in the cave. This is an ongoing situation, and as more details emerge, it becomes more and more intriguing. They're currently being given a crash course in swimming and diving, so that's one option for trying to get them out. But the next 24 hours really are critical.
Yeah, look, I was wondering why they'd gone so deep into the cave. And reports that I've seen have said that it was some type of an initiation ritual. So it wasn't just let's go 4 hours deep into a cave. I don't know if it has cultural significance, this particular cave or not. But there's a bloke from Britain, Vern Unsworth, and he reckons over the next 24 hours is when we're going to find out if they're going to be successful in getting these boys out of there. So it's still pretty dire. And as we were saying yesterday, that when they first discovered them, everyone's like, yay, it's all unreal. And now it's like an epic journey to be able to get back out of that cave. And this is with the monsoon rains coming as well.
Yeah, that's the significance of the 24 hours. Massive rainfall expected. So we'll watch this space, but fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, definitely.
For these poor kids. Massive questions being asked, I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
That coach taking those kids in their initiation or not.
Now, it's not often that the government starts handing out money. Free money.
Free money.
But South Australia has been promised a $257 million budget boost under a major overhaul of the way GST revenue is shared around the country.
I'm confused by that. Do I get cash or not?
Just a lump sum payout. That's
excellent.
All you want.
All right, that's all I want.
Scott Morrison is going to deliver an ironclad guarantee. Do you call him ScoMo? I mean, look, for me,
I'm not often talking about him, but I think I might.
For me, a middle-aged, balding guy doesn't really deserve like a cool nickname ScoMo.
Not one that cool that sounds like it should be an initial.
Maybe they should do it like Brangelina and call him Moonball, like, Morrison and Turnbull.
Gotcha.
Or Mournballs. Or something, anyway. All states are going to be better off under the biggest reforms to revenue sharing since it first came in 2000. And Malcolm Fraser, I almost called him. Malcolm Turnbull's come out with one of the great, Bob Hawke who said that no child will live in poverty?
Yeah, by 1990, no child will be living in poverty.
No state will be worse off as a result of the reforms. That just says alarm bells ringing in my head. I'm like, there must be something going to go on. But anyway, Malcolm was in town.
Yeah,
talking
it was on KI yesterday.
On KI.
Yeah.
What a top spot. I think he's.
I know, half his luck.
I think they're sharing in, the government's going to share in a new airstrip there.
Redone the airport, right. And I think they ran out of cash, so the federal government tipped some money into it.
Well, because they got it just lying around. Mel's got his own. Mel's got a 500,000 spare lying around.
And finally, in the top three this morning.
And also some great news for South Australian football, the future of it. The under-18 side, they were successful in the national competition.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
At under-18 level, yeah. So first time they've won in 4 years. And plenty of young talent on show. They're tipping Isaac Rankine to go number one in the draft.
But and the worst part about it is with the way the drafts and that go, and the way players get selected and bought, is that all these young players, only a very small percentage are going to end up playing here, aren't they? A lot of them will be snapped up from over in the other states. So. It's nice to have them all here under the one banner.
It's a bit unfortunate because we're constantly complaining about players wanting to go home and not sticking with the club once they've... And you've got the talent here, but you can't hold on to it.
They can't wait to get out into the big, bad world.
Very soon.
See you, Mum and Dad. We're moving to Melbourne. Bye.
Port's Brad Ebert next.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, Limo. Uh-huh. Good morning.
Oh, g'day, guys. So can you guys hang around? I'm enjoying speaking to you two. Ruined Dits. Just getting a bit long in the tooth, those two.
Well, the good thing is we know they won't be listening. It's not like they'll be checking on their jobs.
They definitely won't, but they barely listen when they're in the studio during the show. Wow. It definitely won't be now.
Hey, Lima, so, you're a big Hawks man, as yes, we know. How are you feeling after the big news of Cyril calling it quits?
Alana, it's tough for me to imagine a life post-Cyril, I've got to say. He has meant so much to me and all the Hawthorn fans, and the football fans generally as well. I think, I don't know if you guys can remember Gleeson, I don't know if you can remember this. Or Alana, were you a Take That fan back in the day?
Not massive.
No.
Massive.
Well, you know when
Robbie Williams, yeah?
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, right. I like Robbie.
Yeah.
When Take That broke up, people were so upset in England, their fans, that they actually, it's a true story, they set up a 1-800 number that was a counselling service for Take That fans. So if they're really upset, they could ring the number and get some counselling. I think we may have to set up a counselling service after Cyril Rioli's retirement yesterday. Tears have been flooding the streets of Melbourne after his retirement.
Unfortunately, most of the sadness was about Robbie Williams and no one cared about Gary Barlow.
Gary Barlow. Well, Gary Barlow was phoning the counselling service himself.
But as he was saying before, you don't have to be a Hawks fan to love Cyril Rioli, do you? He is an amazing player to watch.
He did stuff on the ground that we've not seen other people do before. His perceived pressure. Cyril Rioli didn't have to have the ball in his hands to be an exciting footballer. And he just moved so quickly. In fact, I swear there are occasions where I actually didn't see Cyril move. I just saw him appear in a different location. It was like he entered some sort of fifth dimension. He was an extraordinary footballer. And guys, I don't know if this is a coincidence, but I'm just chucking it out there. You're across the story, right, about the Tats Lotto winner who won $55 million dollars 6 months ago. They claimed that yesterday.
Right.
The same day that Cyril Rioli quits the Hawthorn Football Club. Now, I'm not saying Cyril's won that $55 million, but I'm just saying, is that a bit of a coincidence?
Makes perfect sense.
He didn't want to tell the boys.
No, he didn't want to have to share it with the playing group. He could well be the $55 million man. Now, I've got some stunning news for you guys. I know you're both sitting down. Good. Okay, here it is. You're not going to believe this. You are not going to believe it. John Farnham is touring again.
No.
Yes.
He's back again.
Gleeso, did he first retire in the late 80s?
He did. And I think, is this one called the Herpes Tour?
back again. Just won't stay away.
I'm picking up so many good new expressions.
We do love Farnsie, but...
I think he's
out there with our Darryl Braithwaite as well. I think they're going out together.
I believe it's a day on the green. They'll be
touring
later this year. Hey, Alana, has this been an educational week for you?
Oh, unbelievably so. What was that gem you came out with yesterday?
Hang on, can we? Was that
on air or off air?
Yeah, I was just about to say, can we just check what it is before?
Yeah, we might leave that there. Do you reckon Johnny Farnham, this has been his strategy? He knew all along that this he was going to keep having, or he genuinely retired and then thought, no, I'm bored, I need something?
He should be most famous for his song The Voice, or that album.
Or Malcolm Turnbull's version of The Voice.
Oh, Malcolm Turnbull, what a disgrace that was. But what do we expect the politicians, seriously? But Alana, he is now most famous for his comebacks.
Yeah.
So I think he's done himself a disservice. It might have worked originally. Oh, he's back out of retirement. But now you're like, come on, mate, you're 69.
I think one of the tours he had to come back to get his manager out of jail.
He did have a couple of little issues there.
Someone's had 3 tons of food delivered.
Oh,
was it you with your week off from the family?
I'll tell you what, Atlanta, you make a good point. I've had about 3 tons of Uber Eats delivered to my house this week. You should see, I told you guys on Tuesday morning that my wife and the bub are away, and I told you that I would not move any clothes off the floor, I wouldn't make the bed, and I wouldn't do any dishes. Our house right now looks like the share house I lived in North Adelaide back in 1989. It is an absolute dead set disgrace, and I'm loving every bit of it. But the 3 tons of food, this is an amazing story, 3 tons of food have been delivered to the International Space Station. Now, that is, I knew that Uber would cross suburbs to deliver to a space station. And can you imagine sitting on the space station watching your phone? going, here it comes. It's only 37 days away.
Just passing Ursa Major.
Oh, no, he's gone the wrong way. He's gone to bloody Mercury. But that is, idiot.
That is a lot of space food sticks. Is that what they still eat up there or is it?
Well, they reckon they were getting, they like extra strong coffee for some reason. Can't explain that. Ice cream was the big treat. Bit of fruit and veg, of course.
Right, right.
I hope it hasn't gone off by the time it gets up there. Gee, you wouldn't want to forget something. Oh, mate, you forgot the bloody lamb chops. Back to earth. This is a disgrace.
Nothing like on demand. All right.
Indeed. Delivered in 30 days or it's free.
Cheers, mate. Well, thanks all for right. catching up this morning.
Good on you guys. Keep up the good work and I'll chat with you next week.
No worries. Rock on.
Lebo, thank you very much.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. Everything Adelaide. 104.7 Triple M.
Leave it. Leans back. Slots the goal.
On Ruin Dits, it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert. For Comwire IT, complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
He is in the studio. He must be happy with that intro, too. That is a cracking intro.
Good. It is always good, yeah. Nice Thursday morning, you know. You know it's a Thursday morning when you're in here. Listen to that.
I think Brad's just trying to recover from sitting next to Gleeso and him having that creepy...
Yeah.
It's giving me shivers. It's really giving me shivers. It woke me up anyway.
Giving him the
It's always good to see you, Gleeso.
Cheers, mate.
Brad, how are you guys shaping up, heading into the game against St Kilda? Looking to solidify a spot in the top four.
Yeah. I guess we're playing okay at the moment. We're always sort of tinkering with different things and trying to make sure that we're maximising that performance. But it's been good. I guess when you've won 6 out of 7, it's shown that you're building that consistent block. Mm-hmm. And the one that we lost was by 3 points. So you know we're showing that we're playing some decent footy. We've just got to be able to make sure that we can string that together for a whole four quarter match. And that's really what we're trying to get going from now. Yeah.
So what did you take out of the win over Carlton? What did your review bring out of that game?
Yeah, I guess we probably didn't play the best football. Mm. And against Melbourne there was patches where we were really just hanging on against Melbourne, but to our credit we've been able to do that and then, you know, put our foot down and get the win. So, you know, we reviewed a couple edits where just, you know, we weren't quite strong enough defensively and probably just allowed a little bit too much space for Carlton, which then allowed them to sort of stay in the match. So from there, I guess we've just got to make sure that we're tightening up on those defensive areas, and then we can really take the game on off. You know, once we get it into offense and get the ball going, we need to be able to then, you know, take it on and get going quickly.
So having played Melbourne recently and then St Kilda beating them last week, does that give you a bit of an indication that maybe St Kilda stepped up a bit?
Yeah. I think that they've been around the mark for the last few weeks, Melbourne and St Kilda, and they've been, you know, really strong. And I think they're starting to play that footy that, you know, they're known for playing over the last few years of, you know, being quite tough around the contest and you know, run and carry and all that sort of stuff. So I think that they're playing some decent footy. Richo, you know, we had him at Port Adelaide for a year there, and so we know how he goes about things, and he's a real smooth, calm operator, and I know that he wouldn't have been too stressed about where they're at, and I know that then, you know, Saints are probably, you know, coming out the other end. So yeah, we've got to make sure that we're on our game, because when they beat a team like Melbourne, it shows that they're back to playing some good footy.
Yeah, certainly their best showing of the year. What'd you make of Jack Trengove last week for you guys?
Yeah, he was really good, and all the boys loved having him in the side, I guess. Mm. You know, when he came into the club, everyone wasn't 100% sure how it was going to go and how he was going to be with, you know, having the last few years of injuries and whatnot. But he came in fantastically. He's fitted into the group brilliantly. And we couldn't have asked for much more on the weekend either. I think that majority of the season he's been playing as a midfielder or a wingman. And, you know, Darcy gets rested for the week and he comes in and then he did his job brilliantly. So, he's a fantastic guy to have around the club.
How do you expect that situation will go then this week with Darcy available?
Yeah, I guess it'll be, it's one of those tough ones for the selectors because, you know, Darcy has not put a foot wrong really. And so I guess it'll be interesting one for the selectors. We've just got to wait and see what happens.
Mm. I must say a lot about the character of a young bloke like Jack to have, as you say, have so much injury trouble leading up, and then to be able to get on the park and bring his A game.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that he's a guy that really just you know, tries to put his best foot forward every time, and he's brilliant with that.
Triple M. On Ruin Dits, it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert. For Comwire IT, complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back, Brad. Few possible ends. We mentioned Darcy earlier. What about Tom Jonas?
Yeah, he's looking okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a bit of a, obviously, like I've just seen over the last couple of weeks, had a bit of a tight hammy, but from all reports speaking to him, he seems like he's pretty fine now. So it was really just, you know, this time of year, making sure that there's no, you know, not going to be any, you know, long going. If, you know, if he did go out and play, tear it, and he's out for 6 weeks. So he didn't want to go doing anything like that, and they didn't want to be silly with him. So I think he should be fine and ready to go from here on.
I've got a calf tear at the moment, and I've got to be on stage tomorrow night.
True. Oh, absolutely true.
Hobble around the stage on one leg.
That's what I'm worried about.
I guess they do the one leg sort of bounce, don't they?
Maybe then I could do the Chuck Berry walk. Yeah. but that's just me.
anyway, that's good to see. Yeah. Good to know, Lisa.
Any tips?
Let's get on to serious topics. What about the wine?
Ah, yes, yes. No, that's I was having a chat with Ruin Ditz about it last week, but yeah, it should have been bottled by now. So I think up in the Barossa, Ben Chipman, our winemaker, he's taken it over and it's got bottled, and we're probably going to go up this weekend and check it out and maybe have a little sample, and then we're probably looking at releasing maybe 19th of July. Well, we are releasing 19th of July. So
is that like a record release or something?
That's it, mate.
It goes
yeah.
out to all the restaurants. Well,
we've built it as big as, you know, as a record launch, but right. There's seriously only like 3,000 bottles, so it's right. not like we've gone out and gone massive. It's just TJ and I have a bit of a passion for it, and you know, last year was when we picked the Shiraz grapes, and then we picked and learnt a fair bit of the trade and had a bit of fun about doing it as well, and then it goes into barrel and our winemaker sort of observes and does all the major stuff, but we had a bit of fun doing it, and it's one of those things that away from footy you're trying to do something, yeah. And
what's
we just
the label?
Hey Diddle Wines. Yeah.
Okay, and so how will people be able to get their hands on it?
Well, it'll be on the website. So yeah, okay. We've got a website set up, and that'll be going live, you know, in a couple of weeks as well, and that'll be the main sort of distribution. We're looking at getting it into some restaurants. I think you know, Sosters have agreed, and maybe get, you know, a few of the restaurants around town, and so we're looking at, you know, getting in and putting it out there. A lot of it will probably be through direct distribution, you know, so straight through the website, and people can just jump on and get that. So yeah, that's the
so
main
is this
way.
Something potentially that becomes bigger for you after footy,
I guess,
or just see how it goes?
Yeah, I guess it's really just seeing how it goes. Like, we've got a second one coming later on in the year as well. So we've tried to, like, you know, not just go with one and that's it. We've gone for a Montepulciano, so a bit of an Italian variety.
Nice.
Yeah. So we thought we'd go a little bit different. And, yeah, that's it. But yeah, so that'll be coming out later on in the year, and so it's one of those things where we just, you know, seeing how it grows and letting it sort of go a bit organically at the moment, but having a bit of fun with it along the way. Yeah.
Cool.
Thanks for coming in, mate. Brad Ebert from Port Adelaide for Comwire IT, complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Ruined It's for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Triple M's Ruined It's for Breakfast, 18-8. The boys are away, being covered by Gleeso from the Jets and the Angels, and Channel 7's Alana Smith. Next one, if you've got kids, be interested to know what you think of this one, because there's nothing worse than when somebody, especially somebody that doesn't know you, tells you what's best for your kids.
Yeah, so childcare centres are in the spotlight. They're banning toy guns, plastic fake knives, all those kinds of toys, swords, bows and arrows, even some Lego weapons, or Lego, as it's said down
Lego,
here.
Lego, yes, we'll call it Lego, Lego for the local
sake,
vernacular.
Yeah. trying to eradicate kids playing violent warlike games.
And cops and robbers, obviously cowboys and Indians is out and all that stuff. These are imagination games for these kids, I think. Mm. You know, it's like, and as long as they're not whacking each other with the sticks or actually inflicting physical abuse on each other, they're kind of, it's about growing their imagination. It's about learning boundaries. Mm. It's about learning what you can and can't do, learning the art of fair play and all that stuff. I think it goes too far. And if you've ever been hit by a Lego sword, they fall apart instantly. So,
well, of course, toy guns hit world headlines maybe month or two ago when Prince George had a toy gun.
Cue outrage.
It wasn't a sight that I was expecting to see, I must admit. Like, you don't expect to see a young royal pointing a gun at toy gun at his
mother.
He's
a normal little kid. I mean, it would make, you know, someone like who's probably had an attempt on their lives, assassination-wise, and probably make them a bit, oh geez, another one. Yeah. Gun! Yeah. People diving all over the place.
Mate, I think it's, I don't think it's cops versus robbers and cowboys and Indians. It's good versus evil. That's
that's the overriding thing.
Yeah.
And so you're never going to sit down and let your kids not watch a battle between good versus evil, whether it's, you know, for preschoolers, whether it's for, you know, G-rated, whatever. You don't see the Avengers sitting down having a group chat with their nemesis going, well, we can work this out.
Yeah, well, that's right. And, you know, it's it comes down to parental control, making sure that your kids aren't hurting other kids, lording it over other kids and stuff like that. But I really do think, I don't know if the Australian Childcare Alliance has seen video games which have extreme violence in them.
Explicit,
that kids are
very clear
allowed to play by their parents, because once again, it comes down to parental control. Some parents let their young kids play these games online.
Mm. I guess taking them out of the centres means they won't access them as easily, but some kids will still have them. I wasn't a big fan of giving my little girl dolls to play with. I just thought, you know, there's better things to do. She's obsessed. I couldn't stop it. It was inherent in her, and all she wants to do is play with babies all the time.
Whip
That's
my
what
little
she
girl.
Loves, so.
I used to whip her and say, "You must play with trucks." Well, and she played with dolls. Damn it. What did I get wrong?
Do you know, with childcare centres, you would think with the price that you pay, that it's kind of like, well, if I'm not sending my kid to a childcare centre, for them to be upset that they can't have something that they can live out a fantasy that they've seen on TV, whether it is, God, Paw Patrol, or I'm starting to haze over. But I think the thing here is, it's another thing where it's kind of like, let parents have the option. If they want to play with things like that, then bloody let the kids play with something like that. And as you said, it's back on the parents to make sure that they know the boundaries, that they know the rules, because every game in battle has rules.
Sure.
To make sure that that is the case, instead of just going, well, I think it'd be best if we just got rid of everything. That's horrible. Horrible.
Yeah,
idea.
Look, I mean, what are they going to do? Just put them in a hammock or a cocoon and childcare and just not let them have interaction? Mm. It's like, it's all about learning. And, you know, you can have these people with their degrees, et cetera, saying this is what they feel based on a study or whatever, but yeah, I think it's overstepping the mark as far as, you know, letting children's minds develop.
Yeah, and getting used to the fact of what those rules are, what you should and shouldn't do.
Yeah.
133353, we want to hear from you, family. We want to know about childcare centres banning toy guns. Is that just that step too far?
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Dits back Monday week, being covered by Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets and Channel 7's Alana Smith. Thank you very much. We're all parents in this studio at the moment. Childcare centres talking about banning toy guns could lead to new policies forcing the practice. Step too far? What do we think about that?
Yeah, look, I think it's maybe a step too far, but we have other people with other opinions, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. Michelle in Onkaparinga Hills, what do you reckon? Is it a step too far banning guns in childcare centres?
Agree. I'm an ex-childcare worker, and we have become an expat state, but it's parents that have brought this about because of injuries to children's eyes, etc.
Right, so the old adage of you'll have your eye out, everyone has fun until someone has an eye out. But I mean, is this like a hugely prevalent thing in childcare centres? Does it happen on a daily basis, a weekly basis, or?
I believe so, and it provokes, like you said, violence. Kids at that age are impressionable, so if we let them bring in that, you know, they're going to bring in everything else, and you've got to draw the line. You know, you're responsible for 30, 40 children. If they all brought in knives, guns, whatever, the injuries would be phenomenal.
Mm.
Yep. So, Michelle, is it more of a covering bases for the childcare centre itself as much as it is, well, it's not good for children?
Yeah, I'd have to say yes. But again, like I said, a lot of this has been brought about by parents that have children that have suffered injuries.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not just something that's just come about. It's obviously been happening for a long time.
Yeah, you make a good point. Yeah. And obviously it's been talked about recently how childcare centres and schools, rather than just being able to teach the, you know, the things that they're meant to, they're finding that they have to teach things like respect for each other and things like that that you'd think would be a parent's kind of issue.
And we've got Jeff from Port Adelaide on the phone. Where are you sitting with this, mate, with toy guns being banned from childcare centres?
Yeah, I think it's a bit too far. When I was a kid, if we never had a gun, we'd walk around the streets, pick up a stick and start using a stick to shoot each other with.
That's right.
Like, you know, if you want to really come up to the times things are at the moment, you know, you can play cops are robbers. You know, when they got the speed camera gun, they can give them one of those to get a bit of practice, you know. Or else maybe Lego could come up with this idea that when you're building a road that the cars go along, they have a speed camera on there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I love it.
I think you've got a future in toy development.
He does. If anyone's listening, you should do a GoFundMe page, Jeff. That's absolutely brilliant.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. On 104.7 Triple M.
It's Ruined Dits for Breakfast on Triple M, 17 past 8. Being covered until they get back by Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets, Channel 7's Alana Smith. Gleeson, you're not the biggest social media advocate, are you?
Oh, I hate it.
Well, you didn't have to just come out and just... There we go.
Look, I do have a social media presence.
Yes.
But I'm not in control of it, and I obviously use it to...
That's a worry.
Sorry?
That's a worry? Or is that a good thing?
Might just be a good thing.
Dude, it's a very good thing because I want to run off at the mouth. Like, you see all these other guys, you know, I've even heard the Moon Man talking about maybe sending a few, putting a few tweets out, et cetera, and saying the wrong thing when you're in the wrong frame of mind.
Mm.
I don't think there's enough useless studies going on in the world. But
right.
And the thing is, when they do these studies, this one we're going to talk about, talk that mentions a loneliness crisis. They did a survey of 1,200 Australians. You know, there's 6+ billion people in the world,
absolutely,
don't you?
Absolutely, yeah.
So when you take 1,200 people and say, well, this is a microcosm, well, it's a pretty small microcosm. Okay, so there's a loneliness crisis sweeping through the nation, and statistics reveal that Australians have half the amount of close friends that they had a decade ago. People die. People move on.
It's true.
But yeah, on average we have most Australians, or of the 1,200 surveyed, now have 3.9 close friends. I don't know what they've lost a digit or a limb or something. Whereas in 2005 they had 6.4 friends.
And right.
I don't know. What happens is
I wonder if it's reflective of an aging population, because as you get older, certainly your inner circle condenses, I think. You know, when you're at school or university, everyone's your best mate.
Yeah.
And as you get older, you...
You become more selective.
And you have less time, so you want to invest it in those that really matter to you.
Sure. And I'm not interviewing anymore. I'm full. I don't go out looking for new friends. And as you say,
what was the interview process like when you were?
Well, it involved bringing a bottle of Jack. There'd always be a bottle of Jack. There's actually, I take that back. There's a bloke who comes to gigs, and he gives me a bottle of Jack every time he comes to gigs. And I consider him a friend.
He's bought his way in.
As I say, I wasn't interviewing, and he just popped up.
There you go. You're not even looking, it happens.
But as you say, you get older, and things change, and friends that you did have that you had common interests with, you have kids. They don't have kids. You know, they move on somewhere else, or
life
they move
goes
into
in different
state.
Directions.
Sliding doors.
Well, I can happily say I reckon I've got 10 very good friends.
I would count
10 people as very good friends on that level. One of them's staying with me at the moment. She's visited from Sydney, and she's been my friend since before school. So we did gymnastics before school together, and then went through school from kindergarten to year 12 and did a year or so of uni together before we decided we should do something we're actually interested in, not just go to uni bar every day.
Can I ask, when you got such a close group of friends that I would consider big, I would consider that a heap of people, because you haven't named which friends are which what in what
that
circle.
That could be dangerous.
But do you have, like, do the close, that inner circle, have, like, your own group chat? online.
Oh, like yeah.
But no one else is in.
WhatsApp groups.
Right. So if someone posts something that isn't in that circle, are you immediately under it going, oh, my God.
And do you know what? I know you're not big on social media, but WhatsApp is particularly good for that, just staying in touch when you are time poor. But you keep the conversation going. There's no way we could be that connected if it was purely down to making phone calls.
Isn't it something called Words with Friends, or is that Scrabble or something?
Words with Friends.
Is that part of your interview process?
I'm checking the App Store right now. Words with Friends. Talk amongst yourselves. I've got to see if there
is. The other difficult thing is I have really great friends, but I can't mention some of them in front of my other really great friends.
They're falling out with each other?
I'll say, oh, such and such said something the other day, and other friend will go, do you still talk to that nut? And I go, let's talk about something we do together, friend.
Yeah, that is the thing. You have start having too many friends. Kudos to Alana for being able to juggle that many, because when you start getting friends together and the circle gets big, people start not liking others and they start trying to win you over onto their side and their opinion. They did this, so congrats to you.
Don't worry, plenty have dropped off along the way.
She's got a very sharp vetting process. Oh, you're gone.
Yeah, you're out of here.
I am. Once you're gone, you're gone. Yeah,
There's no coming back. 133353. This would be really interesting because Alana does Gleeson. Yeah. How many friends have you got? Do you have more than four mates, which is what this study is effectively saying? Gleeson doesn't believe it. Alana's definitely proven that she's got more. Is it true or not?
Just another useless study someone's getting paid a grant for.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
8:10, Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Not your regularly scheduled program. The boys are away until Monday week, being covered by Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets, Channel 7's Alana Smith. And in less than half an hour, we'll be catching up with Limo, which you can also stream live at triplem.com.au.
Yeah, and obviously we've been following the story of the children trapped in the cave over in Thailand. It seems preposterous that they could get so far into the cave system and the conditions to change so radically in such a short time. It was amazing a few days ago when they were discovered alive and basically unscathed, but the operation continues.
Yeah, well, to try and explain it a bit more to us, we're now joined by the captain of New South Wales Cave Rescue and, in fact, one of the world's finest cavers, Alan Worrald. Alan, good morning to you.
Oh, good morning.
It's great to have you with us. Can you try and explain to us a bit more about this situation and your read on it and how this situation has gotten so bad, seemingly so quickly?
Well, I think they went in before it rained and they... it's a sort of a long, slowish cave for them to walk through, and it just rained and they saw the water coming up and ran for high ground, I'd say.
And the fact that our conditions can change so quickly underground, it must be something, I guess, that you've experienced over the years?
Oh, yeah, it happens in that sort of cave. It's an active cave, so it's almost like a drain pipe system. Right. You know, natural drain pipe system, and you get a thunderstorm and it comes up very fast. Yeah, so they wouldn't have had much time to think about it. They just would have probably been hurrying to get away from it.
So, Alan, with the situation as it sits at the moment and those monsoonal rains expected in the next 24 hours again, what hope do you hold for these kids, either A, getting out now, or if not, staying put and surviving?
Well, yeah, that's the decision they've got to make. They've either got to find a very high, safe area that they can be in a non-floodable place, but that doesn't sound like there is one from the descriptions I've heard. I saw one of the officials there talking about it flooding to the roof everywhere. Mm. And actually, from the photos you see, which are, I mean, they're pretty bad, but you get the idea. Well, I get the idea that, yes, it floods quite badly. It's all muddy looking and dark and, yeah. So they might just have no choice. They just have to move.
Mm-hmm. And coming up with solutions. They're talking about teaching the kids to swim and getting them familiar with a scuba diving apparatus. It's one thing, surely, to be doing it in a resort location or you know, somewhere where, that you choose to do it. It's not as easy as it sounds, you wouldn't think, to learn to scuba dive in a cave system.
No, not at all. No, it's quite a big ask of them. They're not used to, you know, having their heads underwater, probably. And it's going to be quite dark, so, you know, it's very thick brown floodwater-looking stuff, you know, which never looks nice. Mm. And they'll actually go in that. They're not going to be able to see anything. The divers aren't either. They'll be just doing it by feel, probably.
How long does it take an adult to go from no experience whatsoever to, you know, wearing scuba diving apparatus to be proficient at it? Because they're asking these kids to do it in a very short amount of time.
Well, yeah, if you're actually training to be a cave diver, it normally takes years, you know, quite a bit of experience just diving, open water, normal diving, and then people move into caves. They don't have to be experienced as such, though. I think the idea is to just teach them and get them confident that they can be underwater and float around underwater, and the cave divers will bring them through like, like living sacks, really. They'll have to just treat them like bags and pass them through and tow them through. They won't be expected to swim or really look after themselves at all.
All right, Alan, we might leave it there, but really appreciate your time this morning for giving some insight on this horrible situation in Thailand. Thanks very much.
All right.
Thanks, Alan. Cheers.
Get Ruin Dits for breakfast, weekdays from 6, or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast Catch-Up at triplem.com.au.